Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org and is distributed by NPR.
It's Bullseye. My guest this week is the rap legend E-40. If you're from the Bay Area, like I am, you know him as one of, if not the greatest, cultural forces in music of the region, certainly in hip-hop. He became that way because of an utterly unique style. Here's one of his first breakout singles, Rapper's Ball. I'll put my back in down. Ain't never been a sign. And I was having B-R-E-I-G way before this rap game. Threw up in town. Thought you thirsty for cheesy. Who's member? Earl Bratton denailed him. E-40 named himself the Ambassador of the Bay. And that's what he is. He was born and raised in the small town of Vallejo in the East Bay, and he's brought the culture of the Bay Area to the world. Gramsci would have called him an organic intellectual, fiercely independent and unlike anyone or anything else. Reminds me of the Bay Area itself. 40's distinctive style overflows with language. His bars are stuffed to the gills with words both real and imagined. He's hip-hop's king of slang, and he's a stylist without peer. He's also spent his career at the forefront of independent music, building a rap empire that changed the way that records were made and sold in hip-hop and beyond. He is both an artist and a movement. His distinctiveness has kept him relevant for three decades now, from mob music in the 1990s to hyphy slaps in the aughts to new records today. His themes are simple: hustling, street life, a little bit of wisdom, and a lot of money making. Here's the latest single from his new album, Practice Makes Paper. It's called Chase the Money. Look at the way I'm winning. Look at this liquid around my neck. Look how they shimmer. Look at this strand I'm smoking. Look at this bottle I'm holding. Look at my life. Look how I plan to feel like I'm rolling the dice up under casino lights. Luxury automobiles and sports cars with loud pipes. Detachable steering wheels, muscle cars, and scraper bikes. Some of my push pills. Some of them push that cha-cha. Some of them work for a living to make an honest dollar. And here's another thing I thought that you should know. E-40, welcome to Bullseye. It's so great to have you on the show.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me on here, man.
I am thrilled. I'm a native San Franciscan, so I've been a fan since I was knee high to a grasshopper. So very happy.
Many
to have
moons,
you on the show.
Many moons, man.
Absolutely.
Since you was ankle low to a centipede's toe.
Absolutely.
Right on. I appreciate you.
So when I was a kid, Vallejo, where you're from, was basically Marine World Africa USA to me, the aquatic theme park, and that was about all I knew. What was Vallejo to you when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, it was Dan Foley Park. It was the waterfront. It was Wilson Park baseball. It was Lemon Street Park football practices. It was Corpus Field football games with all the high school football teams. It was Blue Rock Springs. It was unity over separation, so much love, and it molded me, it made me become a GOAT in the game, and I'm grateful and thankful.
Were you proud as a kid to be from Vallejo?
Oh, you know, I definitely never denied where my soil was from. It's just we had to work harder than most because we were a small city with about 8 or 9 exes at the time. And we had to prove ourselves to the rest of the Yay area, to, you know, Oakland, to Frisco, to, you know what I'm saying, all the other soils, bigger cities that was from the Bay Area, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Vallejo had a pretty proud music history, even just when you were a kid. You were born in the mid-60s, and, you know, Sly Stone is from Vallejo, Confunction were from Vallejo. I didn't know Johnny Otis was from Vallejo until I just happened to look it up earlier today. But there was all this pride in Vallejo. Your uncle was a professional musician as well.
You know his name?
Yes, I do know his name.
What's his handle?
But only because I wrote it down. I know that you knew him as Uncle Chucky, but he was known as St. Charles.
That's right. St. Charles is my uncle and my mama's brother. Same last name, same mama, same daddy. I grew up as a young, ambitious, curious young man, loved music, played the drums when I was in the fourth grade, and played all the way to high school. That was one of the only sources of music. They didn't have Pro Tools and Logic and all that good stuff. So I used to always holler at my Uncle Chucky. I said, "Uncle Chucky, Uncle Chucky, I want to make a record." So as I got older, me and my brother D-Shot and B-Legit, we found a few dollars and went ahead and put it into the thing, and bought some CDs, you know, and pressing them up at Rainbow Records, made an EP. And it was a great EP. But we knew we needed to do what we came in the game to do. What we really signed up to do, and that was to spit LRPs. You know what I'm saying? You know, speak our life, to talk about, you know, to narrate, to become a narrator, to narrate the soil, to narrate the activities that's jumping off.
I want to play your uncle's record, if you don't mind. Your uncle had a 45 out, R&B 45.
Oh, my God. Please don't tell me you got that, bro.
This song
was Rock
called...
Me in My Arms?
Yeah, exactly.
Play that, because if you play that, it's going to make me tear up. And I'll tell you why. Because I was so happy for my uncle. Like, I was a little kid, and he'd pull up in Millersville, and he'd have those in the back of his car. He had a Cadillac. It wasn't no super bad Cadillac. It was just a clean Cadillac. And I just remember having that, you know, it's like, man, that's my uncle. It was just like, and I know those lyrics. I know the hook. You know what I mean? You want me to sing it before you even say it?
Let's hear it.
Rock me in your arms, and I want to feel your love. Come on, one more time, one more time. For the good times, for the good times, yeah. You feel me? Let's go. You know, it just meant so much to me. You know, we had a famous person. He might not have been worldwide famous with it, but he made worldwide famous people like myself, JT the Bigger Figure, you know, and he taught me life lessons. He taught me how to go get a bank account. Go over here. Let's go get this bank account. Let's show you how he showed me. He taught me how to about purchase orders, invoices, everything. He was like, you know, an uncle is like a second dad. That's what he was to me, and that's what he is right now to this day.
I didn't know until I started reading for this interview, and I've been a fan of yours for decades, but I didn't know until I started reading for this interview that you went to college. I think it's for, you know, it's still relatively unusual for MCs, but certainly for MCs of your generation, there weren't that many dudes who had gone to college. You went to Grambling. Tell me how you ended up going away to school.
So one day, so you gotta understand, my cousin B-Legit, you know, he not just my family, but he like my best friend in the world. So everything he did, I did. That's we did the same thing. We played ball together. We slid out through the traffic together. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you see B, you gonna see me. If you see me, you gonna see B. We on Magazine Street one day, and he was like, he hit me with one of them ones. He just in a couple of months, I'm about to head out to college. I said, oh, for real? Okay, cool. Where you headed? Louisiana. I said, Louisiana? What the hell, Louisiana? He said, yeah, Grambling State University. I said, hold on, Grambling State University, you finna leave in a couple of months or something like that? He said, yeah, I gotta go, man. Ooh. I said, man, I talked to my mom. I said, I'm going too. I need to get up there too. Because, you know, at that time, you know, life was moving fast. You know, I was 17 and a half, something like that, almost 18. So I went and got my transcript and everything from Hogan High School, and I made it in by the hair of my chinny chin chin. We ended up doing music while we was out there.
Do you remember any of the verses that you wrote back then?
Let me see. I got to remember that. It was so many years. You got to remember, this was 1986, brother. It was 1986. You can Google it. You know what? You can punch in E40 in the click, or you could put E40 Be Legit, Grambling State University remake school alma mater, because we feel like we remade the school alma mater.
Grambling University.
Grambling University.
Grambling University.
Grambling University.
GSU.
It's the school
when we come to learn
not to be cool. Hey,
we can do anything
if you just believe.
Now there's no other school, no other grade
than the dear old Grambling State.
And that's Grambling University.
Grambling University.
Grambling University.
Grambling University.
That's awesome.
Hey, so look, so we entered that, so we sung that song at a talent show at Grambling, and we won, bro. We won the whole talent show. When we walked out, we were signing autographs on campus. The fall of 86, 87, good brother.
And you came home to Vallejo and basically just got in the studio and started making records.
When we got in the studio, didn't waste no time, put our foot on the gas and went in. We made a record called MVP Most Valuable Players. It was me, D-Shot, Be Legit, Sugar T. You know, that, you know, a lot of times your first record just don't make it. You know what I'm saying? So we just kept throwing at the wall. If you shit at the wall, eventually it's going to stick.
I'll continue my conversation with E40 in a minute. Stay with us. It's Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor, Smart Water. Smart Water is for the curious drinkers, the ones who are always looking for ways to make things a little better. That's why Smart Water created two new ways to hydrate. Smart Water Alkaline, with 9+ pH, and Smart Water Antioxidant, with added selenium. And now you can order Smart Water by saying, Alexa, order Smart Water. Smart Water. That's pretty smart.
I'm Shankar Vedantam. This week on Hidden Brain, we kick off our annual summer series, You 2.0. Ideas and advice about how you can respond to life's chaos.
Let me do a just check to my inbox. Just check, just check, just check to my phone real quick.
With wisdom. Listen to Hidden Brain from NPR every week.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, I'm Graham.
And we're two house DJs who have been trapped inside our drum machine.
We love it here, and we'd love if you stopped by and visited us every week on Stop Podcasting Yourself
here on MaximumFun.org.
We're just a couple of doofuses from Canada.
And listen to our show or perish. Stop Podcasting Yourself
on MaximumFun.org.
It's Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest this week is the rapper E40. His 28th studio album, Practice Makes Paper, is out now.
Let's hear a little bit of an early E40 record. This is Mr. Flamboyant.
As a youngster, I never knew Nathan. That disobedient child in your neighborhood, you know the one I'm places always chasing. Straight down and dirty for my props. 11 years old, extra mannish, hard-headed, shining rocks. I killed a cowboy. Those lies toy, those hella bigger than me. Prettiest thing I've ever seen, a 1979 AR-15. Clean, fully automatic in the whole killer kit. It's watching me walking up and down the streets, supposed to be pointing fingers, talking my partner got a grip. Partially what I was doing was protecting my people's $1 million spot. It was my duty, I got paid to go out the whole mother block. Try and catch me if you can, now that I'm a grown man, though. The mail I got stashed away, people are never
Mr. Flamboyant. I came here on business. I came here on business.
Huh? You learned from your uncle the basics of the record business and found a one-stop shop that could print your records for you and distribute them. What were you doing to sell them before you signed your first major label deal in the early 90s?
So we had a one-stop. It was called Music People, which was a one-stop distribution company, right? It wasn't my one-stop. It was just a one-stop that all the Bay Area, a lot of the Bay Area rappers, and even people from outside of the Bay Area used to use. And then we also had City Hall Records, which was like our main hub. Back when we did it, we had major bids. All the labels wanted to sign Sick with the Records, E40 and the Click. They wanted to sign us. We went with Barry Wise. Barry Wise and Jive Records. So I was paid the way my deal was designed. Me, I was the top. I was the top hat of the whole Sick with the Records. So my deal was I was paid on the first 200,000 records on a 75-25. Jive got 25%. They got their 25% fee, and I got 75%. And they couldn't hold a reserve because the first 200,000 was designed to already be sold, because that's what I was selling already before they had any interest of me. That's a lot of money.
200,000 records is a lot of records to sell on a record company that's a guy.
Yes, sir. Exactly. You feel what I'm saying? We had one of the best deals, if not the best deal in the game. And my Uncle St. Charles designed a system where he was very smart, very smart. He taught me a lot. And he took every... He went from city to he looked into, you know, he did his due diligence and put together a book. And this book, it was an address book with all the places that sold hip hop music. So what he would do would put together a one sheet with all our information, kind of like what you see on Wikipedia, but it was a, you know, it wasn't as long, the discography or whatever, you know, but it would show all the things that we had going. It would have our barcode of how to, you know, the barcode for the CD or cassette at the time. And so we would send it out with like five cassettes, and he sent that to everything. And he had a major network, you know. So Master P and JT the Bigger Figure, those guys like that, you know, and the rest of the Bay Area, they seen how Sick With It Records and Solar Music Group and my Uncle St. Charles and Sick With It was doing it. Me and St. Charles, we was the main guys, you know what I'm saying? And they seen how we got down, and, you know, they came aboard and got with my Uncle St. Charles, and, hey, man, sky's the limit, you know, and made a lot of money and did their thing and became iconic in the game, very iconic. And I take my hats off to them, and I love them dearly, and that's how it all went.
Well, you know, JT the Bigger Figure knew what was up because game recognized game.
Game recognized game in the Bay, man. Shout out to JT the Bigger Figure. Shout out to Mac Maul, legends in the game.
I want to play a little bit of what is one of, if not the most iconic Bay Area hip-hop records. And it's possible that I think that because it came out when I was 14.
Yeah.
But one of the all-time greatest. And that's the Bay Ballers remix of the Loonies' I Got Five on It.
Woo.
And every rapper in the Bay was on this record. Every person who was anybody was on this album, on this track. And you have one of the best verses on the whole thing. Let's take a listen.
Okay.
Why your trick me so bad? 40 makes it happen. Five gay slapping, revenue grossing, just a little bit of lightweight. Flambeaux and potent fumes linger, mighty clouds and northern lights. I expect to fit the baron and you'll be violating my civil rights. I'm starting to feel my skrilla, but perhaps today my skrill ain't killing me. For the simple fact that I'm off to the track where hella fools be. Pockets empty, pitching five, man, I'm thirsty. Took off my hat, passed it around.
40, I didn't even have cable. I was watching that video on California Music Channel. After
Woo!
School.
Shout out to Chewy Gomez. Shout out to Andy Kawanami. California Music Channel, man. CMC, man. Iconic, you know. Wow.
But I remember you coming in that video, and there's some, you know, there's some bold looks in that video. You know, Shock G and Humpty Humper in that video. Drew
Spice
Down
One.
Is in that video with
Drew
his
Down.
Hair. You know what I'm talking about? And mm-hmm. You coming in that video with your glasses down your nose.
Off top, you know, unique, the square look, but really a hip square, like gamed up, you know, throw off methods, man. I just look like this, man. You know what I'm saying? You can never know. You can't take me too serious. You can't take me for a joke. I'm a character. This is how I get out. I don't even really wear glasses. I don't wear glasses. I don't need glasses. Not to say that I want in the future. It could be next week. It could be, you know, 10 years from now. It could be 30 years from now. Maybe I'm never wearing them, but I'm just saying that was a look that I chose to take on with the glasses hanging on my nose, you know what I'm saying? Reading glasses, and that's my look. And then, you know, in the future you'll see more and more. But that was a look, not just me, the Bay Area's rocking with that look in the 80s. And I utilize it as somebody that, you know, you see me wearing them glasses in the traffic while I'm out there doing my duties, moving around, wiggling. You know, the Elroys, the Popo, the Penelopes, You know what I'm saying? The cherries, the one times, I have you the 5-0, the 12, whatever you want to call it. And I'm talking about at that time, they was going to just walk. They was going to just look right past me because he ain't doing that. He squared. He in the bucket. He ain't having it. We ain't even tripping on him. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it was also a look of fashion. It was part of the culture. And then unfolded like that, man. And that was that. But you played that I Got 5-1. That was legendary and classic. We all did we did a great job with that one. I had everybody off the Slurricane Hurricanes. I had made them personally for them. I was the bartender. Hello.
So you just gave us.
The loonies. They did it.
You just gave us 12 names for the police.
I did. I got plenty more.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised to hear that for you. And, you know, there's probably some people listening to this right now who are listening on KALW in San Francisco, and they know the deal. You know, they listen to KPOO.
Yeah.
They listen to...
KPOO. I rode on out to the Valley Joe. Man, when Too Short said that, that was so iconic when he said that. I forgot the song, but I say Too Short is my hero.
Yeah, I mean, I
was
knows?
A young man. I was a young mustache observing his game. You feel me?
Who would know if I would even be in radio today if it wasn't for the music director of KPOO, JJ on the radio.
JJ on the radio. Shout out to JJ on the radio.
Playing the original, playing classic soul music from the original 45 RPM recordings.
Authentic.
All snap, crackles, and pops are intentional.
Hello. Authentic Bay Area, iconic platform that invited us all.
Let's,
you know what I mean?
But let's cut through a little bit of Bay Area slang for people who aren't from the Bay. I can give you some words and you give me a sense of what they mean.
Okay.
So the first one is Cuddy.
Cuddy, that's when I first heard Cuddy, that's from North Vallejo. That's Mac Dre and you understand me, the Romper Room, you know, that whole side of town. That was their thing. That's their word. That's the first time I ever heard them screaming it. They was the Cuddies. We was the Sahibs. You feel me? And that, it's all gravity.
For sure. What about Fetty?
Fetty. That is a Spanish word for Fetia. I was the first rapper ever screaming it. Fetia is money. You know what I'm talking about? Gouda, Skrilla, paper, you know, bread, scratch. You know what I'm talking about? I can go on and on forever, but that's something that I was the first rapper screaming at. You know what I mean? So I can take... I can actually really go ahead and, you know, claim that one right there.
Flamboasting?
Flamboasting means being flamboyant and boasting at the same time. So you put them both together and you got flamboasting.
What about saying sucker free? What does it mean to be sucker free?
Sucker free is, you know, continuing to dodge suckers, you know, to shake haters, you know, and you know, just stay away from suckers. And sucker free. Whenever I hear sucker free, it always remind me of Frisco, because I feel like Frisco gamed up to the whole Bay, and every region, every city has their own words and stuff that they say.
Sucker free city.
Sucker free. That's the skull. That's Frisco. You know what I mean? They sucker free.
40. Why is it that you, a 50-year-old man, are still making like mainstream rap records with dudes that are out right now? Why are you the only person who can pull that off?
Man, Be Legit, we used to always talk about this. Like, man, when we get older, man, we ain't gonna be slacking in our Mac. We gonna be gamed up. We ain't gonna do too much, but we gonna be right there with them. And we know how far we are ahead of time, because we was always students of the game, and we always would soak up game like a beach towel with all the OGs and whatnot. And we studied it, and we practiced making paper. We practiced, you know, being solid, not salad. You know what I'm saying? I would say this. I would say that, and this not pointing the finger at me like I'm a me, like, you know what I'm saying, this, that, and the third, because I stay humble. I stay definitely hungry and humble. Believe it or not, man, some people get mad at me for being so humble. They want me to really, you understand me, like stand up and just scream it, man. Like, man, own it. And I do, but I do it in a humble way because I feel like humbleness got me all this far. Why not stay humble, you know? And they like, man, dude, come on, man. It's no one your age, no one, that has started in the 80s with music on the shelves that stayed relevant all this time consistently. No one on the planet. I don't care who it is. I know what I brought to hip hop. I know that I'm steady moving the culture forward, not backwards. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just me, man. But I always promise myself, turn with the times, or the times gonna turn on you. Change with the times, or the times will change on you. But do it in a player fashion where, you know, you're still you, but at the same time, you know, you're fitting in right with what's going on today. You know what I'm talking about? I told people, even when the hyphy movement came in, man, I didn't get it from a particular person. I got it from my region. That the hyphy movement was the whole Bay Area. It wasn't just one person or anything like that. I just joined in because this is what it was. It just so happened that, a legendary guy by Vallejo, you know, from Vallejo, passed away at the time when everything was going great. And I believed that he would be iconic and have millions of dollars and everything if he was alive. It wasn't never a personal issue with him. You know what I'm saying? All I did was join in a movement that was, you know, that was right there in my backyard. I never moved out of the Bay Area.
40, I can't let you go without you sharing one of these with me. I'm going to do my best. This is my best, 40.
Uh-huh. Ooh. Can I tell you where I got that from? Because I always pay homage. Can I tell you where I got that from, bro?
Yeah.
I'm proud to say it, too. A female rapper, just so happened to her name, it's Sugar T, which is my blood sister, same mama, same daddy. Because she used to, when she finished, sprinkle me, and she just, ooh. You know, people coined me for this, but like I'm telling you what's real. I got that from my sister, Sugar T.
Well, 40, I sure appreciate you taking all this time to be on Bullseye.
Yes, sir.
You know, the Bay wouldn't be the Bay without the ambassador. And
thank you.
I'm very grateful for everything you've done, and frankly, my career wouldn't be what it was without your example. And that's the truth. That's the truth, Ruth.
God bless you, man. Thank you, man. I'm very grateful and thankful.
Lace up for me, sugar. Here comes the top notch. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Here I be. Click down me, Sugar T from the beat. I'm quick to smile. Always down for the job. You ain't got a strut, that's a...
Thanks again to E40, the legend. His new album, Practice Makes Paper, is out now. Check out his voluminous catalog of music, like the song that's playing right now, Sprinkle Me, a classic, man.
That's what we do. If you want to hear some of this G-A-M-E, say 40 player partner with just sprinkle me.
40 player partner with just sprinkle me. 40 player partner with just sprinkle me.
Kick it all back on the Hennessy.
That's the end of another episode of Bullseye. Bullseye is produced at MaximumFun.org World Headquarters overlooking MacArthur Park in beautiful Los Angeles, California, where this week it drizzled for 10 glorious seconds before the 90-degree weather started up again. It was a nice 10 seconds, though. The show is produced by Speaking Into Microphones. Our producer is Kevin Ferguson. He's taking care of a baby, so Raghu Manavalan stepped in for him this week. Jesus Ambrosio is our associate producer. We have help from Casey O'Brien here in the office, and our production fellow is Jordan Cowling. Our interstitial music is by DJW, also known as Dan Wally. Thanks to Dan for sharing it with us. Hey, Dan, I interviewed E40. Our theme song is Huddle Formation by the Go Team. Thanks to them and their label Memphis Industries for letting us use that. They're good folks. And before you go, there are decades of Bullseye episodes for you to listen to in our archives. If you're a fan of hip-hop veterans, for example, why not check out my conversation with Master Ace? Check out my interview with Big Boy from Outkast. How about that? Lots of great hip-hop in the Bullseye archives. You can find our archives at MaximumFun.org, which is our website. You can also find them in your podcast app. Just subscribe to Bullseye with Jesse Thorne and, you know, scroll backwards. You can also find the last few years' worth of shows on YouTube in the Bullseye with Jesse Thorne channel. And I think that's about it. Just remember, all great radio hosts have a signature sign-off.
Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org and is distributed by NPR.